And we're back with an all-new episode of Keep It. I'm Louis Bertel. Do you know what I love? When a lot of pop culture happens at once. This is a crunch time week. We've got a lot to get to. I'm going to say all of it right now before I introduce the people who are here. We've got the Met Gala. We've got Devil Wears Prada 2. There are Tony nominations. So all categories in all forms of media are being represented today. I needed a lot of help. So who do I have today? Recent invitees to Keep It and longtime just participants. We have Kyle Buchanan back from the New York Times.
Happy to be here.
Thank God. And Riri Cheney also back.
Yeah, with just takes. Just okay. Like vibes and takes.
Yeah.
Love to be here.
But I can't believe this is the first time the three of us have been on an episode together because we see each other like weekly.
No,
for free.
We accidentally have a salon every week at Akbar.
This is perfect. I'm so excited.
We're taking it wide. So here we go. This could be fun.
Let's begin with Tony nominees. I just have to start saying the words Tony nominee Anna Gasteyer. I guess first of all, it's Anna Gasteyer.
Yes.
It's a frequent, but she's in Schmigadoon, the musical based off the television show. And I have to say, do you know what I root for?
Are you just laughing at the title?
I'm just laughing that we've gotten this far in culture.
Yeah.
The fact that it's like Schmigadoon, a bit title,
yes,
that was two seasons on Apple, now is Broadway nominee. I don't know. Sometimes things just make sense. I'm having a great
They'll take
time.
It from anywhere.
Yes. But she has always been to me the intellectual ham. You know, on Saturday Night Live, like she could go always so zany playing Martha Stewart. But at the same time, the appreciation of musical theater, like in Schmigadoon, she does like a parody of Patter songs, like in The Music Man. And she, you know, does the Belty songs, like as we all know, she was on Wicked. I'm just so fucking psyched for her. She's the perennially underrated SNL actress.
Do you feel that Ashley Padilla now is sort of in that vein?
Yes, because she's, yep, hard-bitten suburban mom. Yes. So I do think she's sort of the heir to that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she's caught on in a real way, too. So I'm really excited for her.
Yeah, and she splits the difference between Jane Curtin and Gilda Radner in a way that I know is very Louis Bertel.
Do you want me to cry on air?
Yeah,
do you want me to cry on air?
Yeah, I'm Amy Poehler now.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Here are the Keep It tissues.
But otherwise, we also have Cannes coming up, and you are going to be attending that. Are you excited this year more so than other years?
I am excited. I literally am going to the airport after this show.
Oh, really?
I'm changing my jacket so I can get through security. Many zippers on this jacket.
Oh, wow.
People listening. So what am I excited about? There's a movie called The Man I Love by one of my favorite directors, Ira Sachs. Rami Malek is in it. I've heard this is a return to form performance.
Well, Ira Sachs is the one who did Passages with Ben Whishaw, right?
Yes.
And also Love is Strange with John Lithgow. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's also a movie, do y'all know The Javis? They were a couple on Spanish Drag Race. They were judges. They're also directors. They did Veneno. They have a movie coming out called The Black Ball with basically every hot boy Spanish Instagram has to offer and Glenn Close.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw something about that.
I love that Glenn Close is like, I've worked with Lee Daniels. I've worked with Ryan Murphy. Let me see what the Euro gays have to offer.
She doesn't want to stay in the house. And I actually respect that. It's like, what else is she going to do? Like, this is her whole purpose to, like, I guess, terrify us with, like, little clips at this point.
She was just at TCM Fest over the weekend talking about Dangerous Liaison. She also looks smashing.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wig is really wigging.
Yeah.
No, I think it's, there's Pedro Almodóvar has a new movie coming out.
Yes,
I think it's adding to the oof of Dad Has a Story.
He's really provided a lot in that recently.
Right.
And Glory.
Yeah, I think that's. I mean, we're really in an era of like, you know what? He tried post Cinema Value, but I always love to see what's coming from the boat city that is Cannes.
And I'm always excited for the movies that we're not anticipating beforehand because Cannes has all the legendary directors, but you know, you want to make room for the new surprises, the new class, like what's the next Anatomy of a Fall or the next Anora going to be? I have my eye on Teenage Sex and Death at Camp Miasma.
Oh, you mean the thing that has lesbian X Twitter has been talking about every three seconds for the last couple months?
100%. Yeah. I know it sounds like the beginning of a Fiona Apple album title, but it is the new movie from the director of I Saw the TV Glow.
Yeah.
Crazy teaser. I'm in. I'm intrigued.
Julian Anderson and
Hannah
Einbinder. Yeah, I mean, it's like taking a beautiful trope and making it even more gay.
Also, that's two actresses who have done parentheses shaped hair so well. The Aniston mold has come back to us.
Yeah, that's going to be, that's going to hit Tubi hard.
I assume you crave the actual just vibe of being there as much as you crave actually seeing the movies. Other people you hope to sort of like rub shoulders with.
Yeah, I mean, you have the most ridiculous life experiences it can. Mm-hmm. You know, it's enough to make me forget that like earlier this morning I was eating a Slim Jim in my boxers on my couch. Like you're wearing a tuxedo every day, which is ridiculous. You're often on yachts. There was a party that I had to get to once via helicopter.
Oh, my God.
And on the way back, we got kicked out of the return helicopter because Lindsay Lohan wanted to fly it all on her own.
Mm.
So
as a pilot.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's for the best.
Just like the craziest things happen there. The craziest, I can't believe this is my life. Mm. This shouldn't be anybody's life. You're overlapping with the 1% in a way that is interesting from like a cultural anthropology perspective. You know, I'm looking forward to the life experiences as much as I'm looking forward to the movies.
You prefer it to, say, a Sundance or a Venice or...
Yeah, they all have their charm. Sundance is fun because it comes right during Oscar season, so you can finally sort of refuel and watch new movies instead of talking about the same ones ad nauseum. Yeah. And you get to you're like discovering new directors, which is really fun. Like new worlds, new stories. Cannes is a lot of like the veterans, so you're kind of always judging by a big yardstick. Like, is this new Hamaguchi film going to be as good as Drive My Car, et cetera, et cetera? But
which, by the way, that movie is that bitch. I fucking love Drive My Car.
That bitch. I mean, I'm excited for the next one too. And, you know, same with Almodovar. Like, he's a staple there.
The thing about festivals, though, is I simply do not relate to clapping that much. Who has the effort to sit after a screening? I don't care if Martin Scorsese is there or if like Saoirse Ronan is kind of looking up at me.
I don't believe you. I think you were about to launch into an 8-minute standing ovation when you said Anna Gasteyer.
Okay.
You were about to
clap at
yourself.
That's different. That's different. I'll clap at like a play, you know, like not a movie. They already made the movie.
I don't know. There's something like you have to imagine there's an applause fluffer. I've never been
there
in
is.
Space.
Yeah.
But yeah, someone who's like catching the wave and just like pressing it over. Like, no, we're going to get this to 11.5 minutes because the last one was 11.
No, there 100% is, and you can goose it as long as you want. They help you goose it because basically what happens is there's a cameraman, and as soon as the closing credits are done, the cameraman is pointing the camera at each member of the cast, at the director, whoever else is pretty in that row, and they will go one by one and get like a minute long close up. So if you have a really long cast, it's going to be longer. But also, if you're like a hammy person, you can get that to stay as long as you want.
I was going to say, I would have little party tricks planned if the camera was going to be on me. Like, I'd know how to juggle by that point or something.
Disguises, well, reveals.
I mean, as a canonically shy person, I might have to just dive and hide. Oh, God, it's too much.
Sometimes they do in a, like, don't make me sing kind of
as
way.
As the woman checks herself in the camera.
Right.
By the way, speaking of festival darlings of last year, Rose Byrne is now a Tony nominee. She's having one of these 1953 Audrey Hepburn years where she gets to be nominated all sorts of things. She was obviously nominated for If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You. And now she's up for I forget if I talked about this. She's in this Noel Coward play from the 20s with Kelly O'Hara, also nominated, where it's two women getting drunk on stage and reminiscing about this guy they both used to hook up with who's going to be back in town. And now they lament the husbands they actually have.
Isn't it so nice when you have a dream and it goes on stage?
Like right. Thank you, Noel Coward, for reaching into the future and going into the past.
I mean,
it is a fabulous performance. If you have time, you should absolutely see that.
Yeah. I mean, it's also so wonderful when you have an actor you've just like loved from an FX original get seen. I was Original Damages High. I've rented that
shit
on DVD.
Who do you think you're talking to? We've already discussed Glenn Close.
I know. We already talked about Patty Hughes. But it's so cool when someone's just like keeps deciding to do fresh work, also to be near her man, Bobby Cannavale, but to just continue to show that their artistry is like more faceted than we ever imagined. So like, good for you, Miss Byrne.
I also think she and Bobby Cannavale are the definitive salt and pepper couple, which is two people who are, you know, bookends, like absolutely diametrically the same as one another. I used to think it was Maggie Gyllenhaal, Peter Sarsgaard, who are the same, you know, kind of stuffy, brown, stony, intellectual movie maker people. But I think actually the hustle of the character acting in Bobby Cannavale and Rose Byrne makes them exactly parallel.
Well, you look at Rose's talent in Spy versus Bobby Cannavale in Shall We Dance. That is a kooky couple inside, beautifully wrapped in
Also,
Armani.
Like, they just have great voices and you want to listen to their conversations.
Mm.
Like,
yes.
Accents that work together.
Mm-hmm. But
I
and they also belong in every movie.
Yes. Yeah. But I haven't actually seen any of these Tony nominees, and I know that you two have caught a few. Like, what would you recommend if I'm in New York, like, next week?
Well, I think, honestly, the answer is you have to do Death of a Salesman with Laurie Metcalf. Okay. Now, I haven't seen this yet. I saw Laurie Metcalf in the other thing, the other Tony-nominated production. She was in Little Bear Ridge Road. She was not nominated for an acting Tony for that. She was for this role. But I will say, people don't realize that the 1951 Death of a Salesman with Frederick March and Mildred Dunnock is one of the best play adaptations ever. And low-key, Linda Lohman, the role that Laurie Metcalf plays, is very underrated as a monologue-giving character in this in that show. Mm-hmm. And to see her doing that can't be beaten. I'm almost sure she's going to win her third Tony this time.
Yeah, I'm going to go Jellicoe Cats, Jellicoe Ball, yes. Jellicoe Cats. Mostly because I'm not a cats person, but this reimagining is fabulous and gay and black, and Andre DeShields is nominated again, and that is A Man from Baltimore. Thank you so much. We are specially insane. and Titanic. Like, I'm really in a mood to have some fun. Though I love Miss Metcalf's performance as Woman I Ran Into at a CVS, I do feel like we're in a world where we have to decide where to put our ducats. To also find a little bit of fun.
Titanic is also fucking hilarious. I saw it now, I think, 3 years ago.
That's also the fun part of being adults now, where we're able to like really follow the process of to see people get their work in front of more audiences. So to go from the small theater that I saw it to now, like, good for them. Like, they worked so hard.
And I believe our friends are Tony nominees.
Yes,
our friends. Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang are now Tony nominees.
As of this morning. Oh, yeah. God, they got the tea.
I don't actually understand the math of producing and getting the but I believe they are. I feel like they enumerate who gets the nominations later.
They are in the press release.
Yeah, okay, they are. There we go.
But I was reading that press release, and some of these plays and musicals have 50 producers, and they all get a Tony if they win?
Have you seen the list of who produced?
This is watering down the
EGOT. Have you seen who produced A Strange Loop? It never ends. It's everybody you've ever heard of.
Yeah.
I feel like we're daytime Emmying here. And yeah. I feel like maybe we should restrict the number.
Okay, but some of us have Emmys, so let's get it the way that we can get them, okay? I think
brilliantly brought up.
Let's always remind everyone. I will pull it from under the table. I mean, look, I actually don't have no feelings about that. I think the fact of the matter is it is so expensive to get anything on Broadway. Yes. Whoever has a residual check that they want to put forward, that is my only plan to get a Tony. I'm not writing something 40,000 times to... Anyway, I think that it's completely fine if people want to just, you know, wash their cash that way.
Is there a threshold? Do you know?
There used to be.
Okay.
But
now I could give 100 and be like, yes.
No, babe. I think it's going to be a little. I think it's
100.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
What are you playing, like, Monopoly?
Is there an amount that you have to give?
I know there used to be because someone sent me a misguided email a few years ago, misreading what my life looked like.
Were you flattered though?
I was like, you're getting a little more delusional in Harlem than I thought you were. But yeah, no, there are people, like, grassroots fundraising where people are just like emailing their mom's friends to try to get these pieces forward. But yeah, I think it's cool. I'm okay if the tent is a little bit bigger.
Especially if it means we get Tony nominee Anna Gasteyer.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. I'm just saying with the producers.
And by the way,
she's up against Rachel Dratch, who is a second time nominee, but she's up for the Rocky Horror Show this time. They're both going to lose to Nichelle Lewis in Ragtime, which I think is the musical production of the year.
Yeah, I think that's
Though Cats, Ragtime versus Cats is very interesting.
I mean, Ragtime, we're talking generational music.
Yeah.
Cats, you're unable to stop smiling. So pick your poison.
What if all Broadway musicals should just be voguing balls?
Yeah, I think that's true.
What if Fiddler on the Roof were, you know, duck walking on the roof? You know what I'm saying?
No, I really do think Alice Ripley really needs to just be boom, boom, catting down the thing. It could be really fun.
All right. We have a lot to get to this episode, and it's all crucially important. So thank you for being here. We have no guests because this is just a people who know too much trivial information episode.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah. Thank you. We will get into, of course, Devil Wears Prada 2. We will get into the Met Gala, speaking of throwing down a lot of money over nothing.
Oh, God.
But before we go to break, a word from our merch team. Now, spring is all about fresh starts, new t-shirts, and terrifying new reasons to call your reps. The Crooked Store's Call Congress line has been a bestseller since it launched years ago, and now it's available in new spring colors like butter yellow and chocolate brown. Plus, all the pieces got a quality upgrade so your favorites can stay in rotation for even longer. Calling your reps has never been more important, so why not make spreading the word as easy as throwing on a comfy t-shirt, crew neck, or hat Head to crooked.com/store to shop. We will be right back. Keep It is brought to you by Quince. Lately, I've been more intentional about what I wear day to day, leaning into pieces that feel easy, comfortable, and still put together. It just makes getting dressed simpler. Quince has been my go-to. The fabrics feel elevated, the fits are clean, and everything just works without needing to overthink it. Quince has all the wardrobe staples for spring. Think 100% European linen shorts and shirts from $34. Lightweight, breathable, and comfortable, but still look put together, and clean 100% Pima cotton tees with a softness that has to be felt. Their pants also hit that same balance, relaxed and comfortable, but still polished enough to wear pretty much anywhere. Everything is priced 50 to 80% less than what you'd find at similar brands. Quince works directly with ethical factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you're getting premium materials without the markup. I picked up one of their linen shirts recently, and it's been on constant rotation. It's lightweight and breathable, but still looks put together, like I didn't just take it out of the dryer, which a lot of my clothes tend to look like. This is a durable, fabulous shirt, and it didn't cost what I thought a shirt like that would cost. Refresh your everyday luxury you'll actually use. Head to quince.com/keepit for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/keepit for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/keepit. This podcast is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace gives you everything you need to offer services and get paid all in one place. From consultations to events and experiences, showcase your offerings with a customizable website designed to attract clients and grow your business. Get paid on time with professional on-brand invoices and online payments. Plus, streamline your workflow with built-in appointment scheduling and email marketing tools. With Squarespace's collection of cutting-edge design tools, anyone can build a bespoke online presence that perfectly fits their brand or business. Start with Blueprint AI, Squarespace's AI-enhanced website builder, to get a fully custom website in just a few steps using basic information about your industry, goals, and personality to generate premium quality content and personalized design recommendations. Squarespace also offers a complete library of professionally designed and award-winning website templates with options for every use and category. No matter where you start, your website is flexible to what you need with intuitive drag-and-drop editing, beautiful styling options, unrivaled visual design effects, on-brand AI content, and more ways to list what you offer. No experience required. Squarespace makes it easy to showcase your expertise and engage clients with video content on your website. Upload and organize your videos, create stunning video libraries, and even monetize your content by adding a paywall. Perfect for online courses, exclusive tutorials, and premium workshops. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/keepit to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/keepit. We are fresh off the 2026 Met Gala, the only time the word fresh will be used to describe anything that happened at the Met Gala. This year was sponsored by none other than fashion icons Jeff and Lauren Bezos. Mm. The night was co-chaired by Anna Wintour, Beyonce, Nicole Kidman, and Venus Williams. And the exhibition this year was Costume Art with the accompanying dress code Fashion is Art. You got that? Let's get into it because there's lots to say. Let's start with the Bezos of it all. Lauren Bezos or Sanchez Bezos or Bezos Sanchez dressed as Madam X. Yes, the John Singer Sargent painting.
Sure.
And I guess the deal is that was a controversial painting, so she's wearing a kind of controversial dress. Did you know that you can't buy being interesting? She didn't know that. That's
it's
what that
so
is.
It's so annoying, though. It's like, if you're going to be this villain, if you're going to make yourself into a Guy Fawkes mask, why won't you use the money for something interesting or extravagant, or like actually make us boo?
Yeah, it was you're right. So, it was tepid.
Yeah, it was a meditation on Navy. Oh, your sleeve fell? Yeah, and the man repainted the sleeve because the woman was too vulgar? Bitch, you already handled that. Do something fresh.
And she also, it's the move of somebody who doesn't actually know why she's there. Yeah. Because she's like, I can't provoke anybody because I don't want to take the attention off the people who actually deserve to be here. But then that would point out that I don't deserve to be here.
I mean, and it's like, okay, if we want to play metrics of like what it is to deserve to be at the $100,000 a ticket ball, which, you know, is something that a lot of people aspire to, and I get it. But like, then how, there is no point of view, which has always been the problem there. It's we're seeing you try to buy yourself into access because that'll make you feel accepted in something that you married into recently and aren't doing anything interesting with.
She's not a visionary. She's a vendor.
Oh, you yes, said it. Oh, thank you. I know you wanted to say it first. So we finally broke the seal on it. But it's true. It's like you, in the face of protests and union organizers, you know, being taken into custody across the street, and you're still not giving anything that's resembling fashion.
Yeah,
you,
right.
Like, we get it. You bought the body. It's somewhat in proportion. Other than that, like, pull it together. Why does it look like you're in the, I don't know, usable fabrics competition on Project Runway?
Yeah. It was her priority to show off the girls. Yeah. And, like, I don't think there was any other priority.
Yeah, that but is it's probably like, true. If you have a checkbook, or I'm guessing gold doubloons shaped as children's heads, and you're going to give it to Schiaparelli, what, use the artistry. Isn't that the point of this, is that you are trying to buy yourself into some sort of intellectual proximity? Why not embrace it? It's because she doesn't have the capacity or the interest.
Well, let's also be clear. I mean, there's lots of people on this red carpet who it's just I didn't care to see. Lots of people with the last name Murdoch, for example. Mm. This is a pop culture podcast, and I'm sorry, we must focus on celebrities. You're getting off topic. I don't know what's happened to you. I didn't even realize Lauren Bezos was not the only Madame X there. Claire Foy was there. Yeah. By the way, so good in All of Us Strangers. Yeah. So good in that.
And hers was just styled better, too. Yeah. It was not...
She looks like Madame X.
Yeah, and she... I mean, that's the body for it, but with her... She had a gorgeous mask on it. Again, it is a first thought reference, but do it better, I guess, with a more conservative budget.
Elevate it.
Yeah.
But I will say... if we're talking about who won the Met Gala, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying there's a lot of competition this year, I'm so sorry. The answer is Madonna. Madonna was the best outfit at the Met Gala.
Did you like Madonna on a red carpet?
I had a brilliant idea.
Oh, okay. Did you like when she was the sea, the pirate, and the wind?
Just let her be all three.
What was your immediate reaction to it?
So Madonna's look was inspired by the painting The Temptation of St. Anthony by the surrealist painter Leonora Carrington. Mm. Now, first of all, there's a lot going on here. There's other people involved with it. She has like a pirate ship on her head, etc. But it actually is a tribute to a piece of art she actually cares about. It's not just, here's a painting people have heard of, so I'm going to reference it like fucking Lauren Sanchez. Yeah. Madonna is obsessed with visual art. In fact, I kind of wonder if she secretly cooked up the theme and they built it around her. Because everything about her is like... visual art oriented. Most of her music videos have references to some, like a female
Baroque
artist or something.
She's always always dabbled
photographers.
Into, and I think she's on my list of good for having the audacity.
Yes,
from the carpet, because if the theme, dress theme for the carpet is fashion is art, let's actually do something. Not let's reference art that it feels like you just printed the fabric. Coleman Domingo, I love you, but what was happening? So there is like. I appreciate that she's always going to have a 360 opinion or perspective that she's bringing to it. But it also was just like, what if fabric was waves? Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not sure it was like her best, but I love her in black hair.
It was an installation.
Yeah. It's very striking if you watch it on the live stream opposed to in a picture. Like watching all those attendants fan it out, it like makes a strong impression. And also she kind of looks like she did in the Frozen video. I like when she does that kind of like sea witch vibe.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Also, this particular artist, Leonora Carrington, was also referenced in her bedtime story video. There's the Giantess, I think is the name of the art. But you'll see, like, it's a one-to-one parallel. But it's also just nice to see somebody who is actually interested in the art component of this, which reminds me of what we were missing from this year, which was Sarah Jessica Parker. She always, I think, makes the Met Gala feel like, give it a little gravitas because she cares about where all this comes from, like references to art, designers, etc. We did have like Beyonce and Rihanna doing their, you know, thing where we know they're alive and well, thank God.
They are still richer and prettier than us.
Yes,
and I think that's important to remind everyone. But there is something too of like the theme being fashion is art. So which of the celebrities are just referencing the art versus like making the art?
Yes,
I think that's also something that was frustrating because I'm sorry. I love watching the fashion show, the Met Gala. I'm not living my politics when I watch this live stream all day. But so I want to be odd and like if you're in that position, you should want to be inspiring people to like make their own art versus just like being inspired by stuff that has been in on the walls for a long time.
Also, my rule of thumb here is if it's something that you could wear basically the same with the same hair and makeup to a movie premiere, you're not going far enough.
Right.
This is your opportunity to give more.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a lost opportunity if you're just kind of doing what we know you to do already.
And it's like really, I mean, I went to see the exhibit last year for Black Dandyism. And it's the first time I've actually like gotten to go while it's been up. And it was so amazing because Dapper Dan happened to be there when I was there. And you were watching like living art see himself be venerated. I want that part of it to continue. And that brings me back to our sweet nerd SJP of like the people who are, we will look back as like our fashion icons and like have set history in this vein. You want that. And I want more from Tiana. I want more from Rhee.
I was just going to bring her up because she nailed the Black Dandyism thing last year. And I just felt like this was a bit paler compared to that.
I disagree. She was it and cousin it. Like,
it was very, again, Jellicle Ball. But I just still felt like I was more interested in, you know, the few shots from her burlesque party than, you know, two nights before. But she is someone we look to because she styles herself and she is, at least we know that she is doing it herself.
And it's actually interesting. I'm sorry. What this actually is a showcase of is who has anything going on in their head. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it makes you like think about these celebrities and what like, you know, just like you were saying, like not just the obligation to be interesting, but like the nerve to be interesting. You
well,
know?
In that vein, Bad Bunny. I really want to talk about this one because I was fascinated by it.
Being an old person, or like it evolved that he became old, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think whatever vein you want to see this through, like I saw this as maybe sort of a commentary on the body aspect of dressing for this year's theme, to come and not be giving hot in a particular way, but to say we all age. I mean, maybe not the people who are trying to stave it off on this carpet, but I'll allow myself to. Like, consider what I'm going to be like in 40 years. Will I still be a hot daddy?
Hot.
I don't know. I thought it was a really interesting, provocative thing for a person to do. And also, at the same time, I think red carpet dressing, and especially Met Gala dressing, it's meant to present, if you do it right, another sense of self. Like, what don't we know you for? And Bad Bunny is kind of saying, look, yes, you know me as a singer, but I can also act, and he is a good actor.
Yes.
So for him to sort of just inhabit that guy and not do it in a doddering way, I was really interested.
It was also fucking unexpected. Yes. So, like, please
let
bring that energy.
Let hot people be weird. I think it's, like, really fascinating. I mean, there's a shot of him going up the stairs greeting his ex-girlfriend's mother, Kris Jenner. And to see someone who is fighting age every day, bless her, to be, like, slowly hugged by hot goes old, I think is, like, that part of the performance art of it was funny to me.
And so when it comes to showing a different side of yourself, that's when I really wanted to get into the heated rivalry boys.
Yeah.
Because I liked what Connor Story was wearing.
No.
Although, are you talking about the blazer before he took it off?
Yes, I like that a little
Republic
bit better.
Banana Republic blouse that I own?
I mean, I think he looks good, but I just don't think he looks... I don't know.
He is hot.
Well, look,
that is not, that's not the goal here. You're
and both him and
something.
Hudson Williams, it's like, yes, you're showing off your bodies, but we kind of already know you for those things. And
yeah,
I think
true.
This is a great time for them to be dressing for the jobs they want to get. You know, in the same way that, like, when Lupita Nyong'o was having her Oscar season and she dressed like this beautiful princess and said, you're not just going to cast me in these period films, like I want to be the star. Or even Colman Domingo, when he had his first big Oscar season breakout, he was dressing like he was the main event. Mm-hmm. I am the star. You might not have seen Rustin, but you're going to see me on this red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look at Hudson Williams, who I think is really terrific in Heated Rivalry and very subtle, I'm like, what does he want to convey? What kind of parts does he want to get? And I see that outfit and I don't know. You're like a bullfighter with black swan makeup. What's that telling me?
I felt like the makeup was the real miss on that part. Because first of all, it matched the outfit too much. It looked like an afterthought or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a to reference and not be unafraid to reference situation.
Yes.
I hear you in terms of Lupita because she was pretty young. You know, Colman is a full person by the time we allowed that talented man to be famous. But with I think they're saying what they want to say, whether or not you agree with it. I think Cotter says, I am beautiful.
Sure, but we know that.
Yeah, but I think that might be where it is right now. Uh-huh. It's like, please let me, I don't have to necessarily, I want to be a sweetie pea. Yeah. And he came as a sweetie pea. I think Hudson wants to be like a little freak. And he is always holding his little scotch glass by the bottom. And that's what he's doing.
Cotter's outfit to me gives it look better in the fashion illustration. Mm. You know, just like the silhouette of it with the big arms coming out. But then he put it on and it was like, what if Audrey Hepburn, the height of her powers, said, I'm going to become a suburban realtor. And yeah. That is what we ended up with in that outfit. That's like one of his least interesting looks I've ever seen him wear on a red carpet.
And we saw the muted, matted down hair at the Golden Globes already.
Yes. It's also possible because, you know, he was wearing Saint Laurent, who was one of the was the major fashion house sponsor. So it is possible that he was told to put the dress on and smile.
Yeah, right.
Which he did do.
Is another point of this whole thing. It's like, I want to know the stories behind what's happening. Yeah. I want to see what I can interpret
And like, who has the power to actually be crafting their look versus, thank you, it was delivered.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's we seeing them on the carpet. I just wrote down, it is crazy that we have gone from a Crave original to the Met Gala in less than 6 months. And that's amazing for them. But also, like, as they're moving forward and are able to really speaking of crafting their careers and what they want to do, I hope they are have more agency than what I've seen so far.
But also, by the way, again, when it comes to being famous and then being relevant or important, you actually can't skip steps. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like they've done a lot. And so, I mean, again, it's crazy how amazing they've come. But it's like they've just got to wait a little while, I think. That said, Sabrina Carpenter has really only been famous, like superstar famous, for 2 years. Mm. The amount she is fucking, like, she just duetted with Stevie Nicks after the Met Gala last night. By the way, on SNL 50, she duetted with Paul Simon. Right. I mean, it's just like, I can't think of another person who has snowballed like this in maybe 15 years, like since like Lady Gaga.
Yeah, but then she wore a dress of a print of the movie Sabrina, and it just made me roll my eyes.
I was very gaspy. This was one of my favorite outfits.
Absolutely. Did you look at the shoes? Clock the shoes.
I didn't look at the shoes, to be fair. But I thought that, yes, her dress made up of film strips from the movie
Sabrina. I thought it was cool.
Was so witty, so her, very old Hollywood. She looked great. The hair and makeup were extremely on point. Like 10 out of 10.
No.
We also are running out of celebrities who are actually referencing kind of like vintage Hollywood in any way. And I crave that.
But I'm sorry. At a certain point, it's like you have a Marcel wave. Great.
Like, also, everybody does try that once.
Yeah. It's like I think she's cool. And yeah. I like really enjoyed her Coachella set. And her voice is beautiful. The way that she harmonized with Stevie was amazing. And thank you for releasing the clip in real time at Met Gala. But I think that there's more than saying I have watched the AFI's Best 100 movie list.
And what could that be?
And this is coming from... and I see who I'm sitting next to at this table, so I say it softly. But I don't know. And she is constrained by being a tiny woman, a big head. So there are some fashion constraints there. You don't want her to be dwarfed by her garment. And you can tell she thought about it and that she was interested in what she was doing. I didn't find it particularly special.
I think she will do weirder things in the future. Like, yes. She will straight up dress as Lola Bunny on a red carpet. Exactly, you will see floppy ears and, you know, a Space Jam
uniform. She conveys Lola Bunny. But also, again, it's like you're dressing for the job you want, and she's referencing cinema. She also was doing that in her Coachella set.
Yes.
Because I think she wants to head into, like, you know, her actress lane right now.
And by the way, I'm still not over the week one having Susan Sarandon out there and then week two having Gina Davis out there.
I'm sorry.
You go ahead and have gay cred. You go ahead.
She wants to be asked for her Letterboxd top four.
Yes.
Well, I mean, that just reminded me of Renata Halperin, which reminded me that Lena Dunham returned to the Met Gala last night in a dress that I would not have put her in. But she's back. And yes. I think that that's like, I mean, it's how fashion is depicted on bodies. She is a big girl. I love that we saw her there. I think that I also was like fascinated by a tracking shot of Alex Consani and Hunter Schafer, both dolls on the carpet at the same time in a year of conservatism. That still means something.
Oh, Hunter Schafer is also one of the best looks of the night.
She looked
sure.
amazing. There was
imagine
like
her not looking amazing.
There was a rack shot of the two of them that was reminiscent of Lady Camden and Bosco on RuPaul. And I say that I cannot
I love
let
both
go.
Of them. Love
yeah,
both of them.
It was amazing. But I do. like, especially in a year right after Black Dandyism, it was not as black and not as gay. And it was, that's, and maybe that's why we're missing the audacity of the event.
By the way, it took me, I was looking at like the color scheme of the room they were all in, because it felt kind of drab to me. And then they're like, oh, it's Vincent Van Gogh inspired. Mm-hmm. And, but it's, when you hear that, it's, you say like,
it's one of those things that I'm sure looked striking in person, but was kind of getting in the way of a lot of these outfits.
Yeah,
especially the trains, because it's the Met Gala. Everyone's going to have absurd trains, but the floor was so like dishwater colored.
Yes,
that I felt like it didn't make any of those trains look good.
And once you find out that Vincent Van Gogh was colorblind and that there was all this like green in his painting that looks kind of drab and dishwatery, it's like, oh right, you don't understand that that looks weird and murky.
I was reading something with the carpet production designer, and God bless him, because he really is somewhere just being like, what if the theme this year is red, as Nicole Kidman said it was?
Guys, what? Okay, go ahead, Riri. We have to return to that.
Okay, but I was, it's like, how do you make a stage where the dress theme this year was so broad, it was giving like the year that people couldn't figure out how to do Americana.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the basis of it. It just, it felt very first thought. But yes, let's talk about Nicole Kidman.
Who wore a red dress.
Because.
And then she said, I wore the red dress to toast red in art.
Yes.
Which I have to say is one of the colors.
I love her so much. She is so, such a freak.
She's also so like pure and then also weird. I would compare her maybe to Celine Dion in that way.
Wait, very much so, because there's something very little girlish about her. I mean, she has like,
she's grown.
She's very smart, thoughtful person. I've interviewed her a bunch of times. I've sat next to her at like awards shows and stuff, and like if a beautiful woman comes up to present, she'll just coo, pretty girl.
And like sometimes the autism,
and I love that for her.
And
you know,
sometimes the autism makes you have to say it immediately. Like that interview with her and A$AP Rocky on the run up to the gala, where they're like, what would you, if you got to switch closets? And A$AP was like, oh, I'm sure she has some fine shit in there. And Nicole was like, oh, well, I would get to kiss his wife. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. If given the opportunity, make out with Rihanna.
Nicole Kidman is not poor things. You know, like sometimes the baby comes out.
Yes, right,
just,
right.
I don't know. Maybe it's okay to have like an earnest expression of need and want immediately. Mama wanted to wear red and have bangs. Mama had red and bangs.
And she brought Sunday Rose and it was adorable.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Also, we had, you know, two of our chairs brought their children on the carpet, which is like, in so as someone who calls herself a gilded gal, I'm a gilded age clock twink my damn self, we are watching like the rise of these socialite class, and like the fact that, you know, Nicole took her daughters to the shows and they're like trying to build them up as these the next round of fashion girlies. And I think, I mean, sure, do nepotism well. You know, Blue looked absolutely gorgeous.
She did.
And she's so tall. And
right.
It's just really, that stuff is fun and it feels sweet. And like, if you're gonna take the picture next to Lauren Sanchez Bezos, Nicole, she stood as far away as she could.
I gotta say, it was chilly.
It was.
As only Nicole can give.
I mean, look, Scarpetta season 2 is shooting now, apparently. She needs to make sure the checks keep on rolling in.
Nicole's shooting stuff for Amazon. That's why, you know, I mean, like, if we are going to get a little bit into the politics at all, I think people were sort of implying that stars might stay away because of Bezos's, and I wish they had that sort of conviction. They don't.
They want to work
for Amazon.
I don't know. I mean, or it just depends on where you are in your career and what your need is, because I was shocked that Mary Louise Streep was not there when all her girls were there. And like,
is she a Met Gala veteran? Not really.
In 2020, she was announced as she was going to host the Met Gala, and it shut down.
Well, this is also the year to do it.
And this is the year to do it. If they're like, this is a co-pro, Condé Nast co-pro, Forest Prior to, which we'll talk about in a second. But it, yeah, sure. She probably, my girl probably tired. But I think that there are some people who sat out. And there are some people who are, we know are fine, because they were at that, what, gray carpeted wedding a year ago. So,
by the way, Anne Hathaway, smashing look.
She came as Queen Mia Thermopolis Rinaldi.
Still on the throne, as you know.
I love that she was like, as one sequel ends, another one rises.
Yeah.
And so I hope Miss Andrews can come out and do exactly one scene in that sequel.
Wait, can I give you three women to rank?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Rihanna, Katy Perry, and Beyonce.
As in
their outfits.
As in, oh, guess, who I want to hold
just
hands
in life. You said Rihanna, Katy Perry, Beyonce.
Yes.
What was Katy Perry's look referencing?
AI. It was like
just AI, because it was like the finger.
Yeah, the sixth finger.
Yeah.
I think it was referencing that she just keeps showing up. She keeps trying.
Yeah, right.
She's really...
I would go Rihanna, I guess, the best. Beyonce's was like kind of... It felt to me like something she had worn before or something. It wasn't like a star-making moment.
She wore a Robert Wound when she switched into a Robert Wound number for her like chair speech. And that looked much better.
Yeah.
She, on the carpet, she spoke about the fact that she was wearing Balmain. She said, because Balmain has been incredibly loyal to me. And I was like,
benevolent.
Okay. Yeah. So are we... So you also noticed something's up with the undergarment of it. But my body is art. She was bones. She was rich. She was rich bones. She looked
great.
She
understood the assignment.
But I would only because of, I think her beauty look was superior, it would go Rihanna, Beyonce, Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Rihanna like looked the most beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beyonce's, you know, it's almost sort of what you'd expect from her, but she still looked 100 feet tall. Like the bones, the feathers, like I felt like she was a boss I was going to scale in Shadow of the Colossus. Like,
there's no, I mean, you know, it, seconds after the Odyssey trailer comes out, there's no world in which you Beyonce hits the carpet and does not look better than most people. Did she look her best? I don't think so.
Yeah, well, again, high bar.
I mean, exactly.
She's had so many, like, there's been so many years where she was the number one thing on the red carpet. I also want to shout out Chase Infinity. Mostly just a pretty dress,
so
but it looked amazing.
Good. And also on theme.
Yeah.
Because, like, the body audience.
Yeah, so, like, my top are Chase Infinity, Nakyai, beauty look was
gorgeous.
Insane. And it was, she was so gorgeous. And someone who every year I'm reminded exists, Emma Chamberlain.
I said the same, I would say Emma Chamberlain.
That was a look though.
Yeah. That was
the way John
gorgeous.
Legend pops up at the Grammys, she pops up at Met Gala.
And like, the power of hair and makeup.
Yeah.
Because her hair and makeup really helped sell that look.
There were a lot of like beauty stories this year. I think Keke Palmer's beauty looked amazing.
Didn't love the wig though.
I mean, look, you got to shake and go. You going to put on. She, I thought she looked damn good.
She wears some amazing wigs in I Love Boosters, which is coming
up. Oh, yeah. I can't
and
wait
I just
kind
of felt like this was a cast off from that.
No, I thought she looked, her makeup was so gorgeous.
We must talk quickly, though, about homosexuality at the Met Gala.
Mm.
Are we done with Tom of Finland references? Luke Evans wore a, I'll say, mauve tribute to Tom of Finland. And if you don't know Tom of Finland, it's like the gay art where it's like they have the mustaches and the biker bodies and like the police hats and stuff.
I don't know. I think I'm always going to be okay with a penis in leather, but
sure.
I do. It again, it did feel like, you know, Luke is currently in Rocky Horror. It did feel like an extension of like his residency, I guess. It wasn't inspired. And like the people I looked to for inspiration this year, again, Coleman Domingo, I wasn't obsessed with his Picasso inspired look. Jeremy Pope looked sparkly, I guess. And
that really was the theme this year. Sparkly, I guess.
I guess. Yeah. Law's bust down was bust down. I mean, it wasn't, the men were not necessarily giving me what you wanted to see.
But what is to account for this like sudden surge and the like leather Tom of Finland look? Like, obviously, Luke Evans like felt like the most of that lifestyle. Nicholas Holt looked hot as hell.
Oh my God, guys.
He looked hot as hell in a way where I'm like, there's like disturbing things here that we should maybe not unpack.
Yeah. No, I didn't know he was going to be delivering.
Yeah. And but then also you had Patrick Schwarzenegger kind of working that look and looking terrified.
Yeah.
I honestly would have swapped his look for Hudson Williams.
Well, like, that's what I was wondering. Give that to Hudson. Are the straight boys having seen Heated Rivalry with their girlfriends, like maybe I should strap something on? I don't know. It, like, where's that trend coming from in a like moment where we all are also getting more conservative?
That outfit was definitely wearing him.
Yeah.
He was not owning whatever that the kind of Johnny Depp hair or whatever he had going on in that outfit. And by the way, I don't expect like a couture moment from Patrick Schwarzenegger. So it's just sort of silly.
Yeah, I think, and I mean, I think my favorite guy on the carpet was Skepta, the British rapper Skepta. But that was what, because he is so hot, it hurts inside. But he felt like he was doing something. It was all of his tattoos on his suit. It was giving. And Tom Brown did amazing work across the night. So I think that they were like one of my tops.
There were also several, of course, Kardashians and Jenners. No Chalamets.
No.
He's still in the penalty box, I think.
It was a very nipple-forward Kardashian-Jenner presentation.
I mean, it was so... I think of the three younger ones that were there, Kendall, the model, looked the best. Especially there was a shot of her piece with a sort of cape-like accessory that she looked amazing
with. Yeah, that was probably the best of those.
Yeah, I mean, Kim
Kardashian, it's like the body... you know, like, I kind of like the color.
And it's like...
She looked better than
not
she...
Not to like out myself.
In a different way.
I watched the show. I know how much that woman cares about what she is doing, baby, care about a different genre of ass out. Like, I just want, like, if you're, again, if you're gonna have the resources for it and also have an obsession of feeling wanting to be included on that carpet, as she has spoken about when she was only a plus one to that man, like, let's do something fun. And I'm not, she doesn't even seem like she's having fun. Mm. And that's a bummer.
But I would also say that's the reason people like her. She never is having that much fun. And that's allure.
Yes, and All's Fair Season 2 coming soon. Oh no, I will
How
say
How dare you
my
bring up
favorite
that television
thing,
show.
My favorite
this is my podcast.
However soon it is, it's too soon.
I love the white girls from All's Fair at Tiana's party. There's something, Naomi Watts has never seemed freer now that she has black friends on in public. She and Sarah Paulson were having a ball, and like, that's what you want for the, oh, and also Sarah Paulson looked amazing.
She looked great.
She looked amazing.
So we can all agree, Madonna won the night. Thank you so much for being here. You are dismissed.
Thank you.
It is your show. We'll let you have it.
Yes.
Yeah, by the sea, Mr. Todd.
But
yeah,
we're not done with fashion yet. We're going to talk about the Devil Wears Prada 2 when we return.
Whee!
Keep It is brought to you by Helix. I have the Midnight Lux model, and I love it. It helps with my sleeping posture. I fit on the bed exactly correctly. I've told you before, I look like a chalk outline in an old-timey whodunit, and it's fabulous. A good night's rest sets you up for a great day. I've had certain sleep issues in the past because I tend to be a caffeine addict, but I honestly believe that whatever problems I have with caffeine, which Jesse Spano and I will sort out later, are countered by how fabulous this mattress is. I've had the same one for a long time. It still feels like I just bought it. Helix delivers your mattress right to your door with free shipping in the U.S. Rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. The Happy with Helix guarantee offers a risk-free, customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress. There's also a 120-night sleep trial and limited lifetime warranty. Helix is the most awarded mattress brand tested and reviewed by experts like Forbes and Wired. In 2026, awarded most trusted brand by USA Today. Now, go to helixsleep.com/keepit for 27% off site-wide, exclusive for listeners of Keep It. That's helixsleep.com/keepit for 27% off site-wide, exclusive for listeners of Keep It. Make sure you enter our show name after checkout so they know we sent you. helixsleep.com/keepit. Keep It is brought to you by Acorns. You know what Acorns does for me that I can't do for myself? Saves money. It's thinking of me, even when I'm not thinking of me, because I'm too busy thinking about Cate Blanchett. Acorns helps me collect my money and build my money off not even thinking about money. It's the dream. So many people are focused on where their money is today. Acorns is the financial wellness app that cares about where your money is going tomorrow. And with the Acorns potential screen, you can find out what your money is capable of. There's not much you can do about the money you've got now, but if you want to do something about the money you could have tomorrow, Acorns wants to help. Acorns is a smart way to give your money a chance to grow. Acorns is easy. You can sign up in minutes and start automatically investing your spare money, even if all you've got is spare change. Acorns grows with you, whether you're just starting out or thinking about settling down. Acorns supports your big and small goals across every life stage. The Acorns potential screen shows you the power of compounding and how your money could grow over time. Plus, you can quickly adjust how much you're investing every day, week, or month to make sure you're building towards your goals. Acorns is all in one. No more finance apps cluttering up your phone. With Acorns, you can invest, save, and give your money a chance to grow in one trusted place. Honestly, I love the Acorns potential screen. It simplifies my money situation and what can be done to build on the money. Do you understand? This is something that would not occur to me intuitively. What am I thinking about again? That's right. Cate Blanchett's part in the shipping news. Small but good. Sign up now and Acorns will boost your new account with a $5 bonus investment. Join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $27 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/keepit or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 2 compensation provided. Potential subject to various factors such as customers' accounts, age, and investment settings. Does not include Acorns fees. Results do not predict or represent the performance of any Acorns portfolio. Investment results will vary. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/keepit. Here we are 20 years later, and our girls Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, Stanley Tucci, and the incomparable Meryl Streep are back for The Devil Wears Prada 2. And let me tell you that we all immediately slipped back into our black leather, over-the-knee Chanel boots and ran, not walked, to go see this film. Before we jump into this conversation, I must say there are spoilers ahead. And if you haven't seen the movie by now, what is wrong with you?
It's been days.
Why is no one ready, et cetera? So now that we've all seen it, what did we think? I want to begin by saying, I'm glad we're talking about this because I've never turned on a movie this many times in a single viewing.
Yes. While watching it.
Yes. Yeah. There, at the beginning of the movie, I was like, it's actually the opposite of my experience with Mother Mary, where the first 10 minutes, I loved it. And then the rest of the movie, I was like, oh, I was wrong. This movie started, I was like, ooh, too drab. And then it had something. I would give this movie a 7 out of 10. I'm a fan.
I have a deep love of the original movie, so that's a hard way to enter the film.
And by the way, it's basically not the same genre as the original movie.
Yeah, it's not. I think that was my larger note of it. Do not expect a dreamy-eyed girl entering a space. That is not this. This is someone who is on magnesium. This is someone who is on a dose, but making the best out of it. But as we entered it, you know, this movie has been, this sequel has been asked for a really long time, and the creative team is incredibly aware of it by the fact that the theme of the runway gala was spring florals. So we, like, from that visual cue, you knew that there was a kindness and also an awareness of what's about to happen. But the issue with a sequel about a magazine is that magazines are dying. And so it's completely impossible to talk about the arena in which the first happened without having an awareness of what's happening now.
And being dour.
Exactly. Yeah. And so a lot of the film, I sat there being like, is this play about us? It was really, constriction is the word of the day. That was hard. And so finding the joy and the inspiration of it, you had to look a little harder than you did when 20 years ago when we were all kids watching it the first time.
I was going to say, I was a little surprised. I don't know if you saw on social media, there was like a stat everybody was pointing out, which is basically the sequel got the same Rotten Tomatoes score as the original, which is absurd to me because the sequel, the original should have gotten a much higher score. Reminds me of, like, you know, 20 years ago, it was almost all like straight men who were delivering these reviews. And that is a sparkling, wonderful piece of Hollywood product. Mm-hmm. That is a movie that stands up, like every scene just works, all the characters work. This one, less so for me. Yeah. This one felt to me like I was watching a limited series adaptation rather than a movie. There were so many extraneous characters and little bits of subplots that weren't
very
really
subplotty,
off.
Very subplotty.
Like we were gonna get into this more in future episodes.
Well, that I think is because someone said, "How do we make this less white?" And the way they did that was everybody gets someone a little brown.
Well, very And Just Like That of them.
The first thought I had watching this movie was, this felt like the And Just Like That to Sex in the City, which is to say they're trying to spread it in a few different directions and deepen the characters, and instead they're just like watering it all down. Mm-hmm. And making it all feel a little sadder, like these characters are sort of listless and figuring out what to do next. But I do think the movie eventually gets a bit funnier and like gets back some of the zhuzh that made the original fun. That said, this is not a quippy movie.
No.
Like, you don't walk out of it with like one-liners that you're repeating to other people. And I'm going to call that an error. But the most glaring error, and the thing that you would think is impossible to get over, but I did manage to get over it, this movie does not know what to do with Miranda. This is a movie about, she is the doyenne of this magazine, but the industry is collapsing around her. So it's sort of all these like crises that are happening at or around her. And she looks like she's confused as she deals with all, and by the way, not even really dealing with it.
And also, this is when it really starts to feel like a TV show to me, because it's like, you know how like in the early seasons of the TV show, there's like the villain you love to hate, but they're so good at it and you love the performance so much that they kind of get redeemed in later seasons.
Yes.
Well, I felt like Miranda was not kind of giving enough of the baddie that we know that she is. And so she was kind of caught in a way station in between the withering Miranda and the somewhat more sympathetic, I've got to apologize for all my sins from the first movie, Miranda.
Yeah.
Okay, but I think that is just a change of POV and of perspective, right? So the first movie, we're in Andy's perspective. She's 22. She's right off the, union reporting beat from her?
Yeah, her janitor story.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and she's she's getting those grilled cheeses and a little bit of dick. But that, we never have time in Miranda's interior. And, you know, even when, Meryl shockingly didn't wear makeup for a moment to talk about her impending divorce in the first film, it's never just her. In this film, we do have some time with just her. Is it possible Miranda was always rosé drunk? I think it probably is, but that's not something you show your subordinates. And when you get to the point of being almost appear, but not quite. You get to see a little bit of more of the woman. And so I accept that as a reason for it. And also you want Meryl obviously did not enjoy being a stoic statue in the first time because she always talks about feeling so far away. So that also is actor meets character.
Some of the humanizing of her in this movie, though, I don't think paid off. Like, I don't think we needed to meet her husband. Like, Kenneth Branagh plays that character. It's like, what is he doing besides wearing a sweater?
We didn't need any of these love interests. Let's be very real.
Well, okay.
Like, especially Anne Hathaway's, like, God bless this man. I'm sure he's lovely. But, like, you know, in the first movie, at least, she's torn between these two guys. And one's Adrien Grenier and one is Simon Baker. Mm-hmm. And they both look hot.
Yeah.
Whether you'd want to be with them or not, there's an amount of wish fulfillment to her being torn between these two men. There's no wish fulfillment to debating whether you want to be with an Australian comedian.
Okay.
All of us on our worst days could pull an Australian comedian.
I think you just don't have the perspective of a late 30s white woman. Because I went with one who I saw the original movie with 20 years ago. And she was like, ooh, that works for me. Yeah. So I think that it's for the population.
Excuse me. But I'm going to say I'm part of that population. That man was boring.
That's not my type. I'm saying sometimes I have to stand with the brown hair ponytail bitches. I think that was for them. But from a story perspective, he had three scenes. It was cut to hell. And you could really tell that they were fighting for runtime in this film, especially Conrad Riccamora fully cut out of the film, which was a real bummer.
Kenneth
Branagh showed up. I thought SVU rules were about to apply. I thought he was about to kill somebody. Or like when Guy Pearce showed up in Mayor of Easttown, he was like, well, he must have done it. He was like, no, he was the only one available.
Right. Did it as a favor for sure.
Exactly. Yeah. But like, yeah. So in thinking of like where we want to spend our time with these women and Tucci, I think it's like, okay, someone gave the note that they have to have full romantic lives because that's the only way women can actually be happy. But it pulls us away from like actually seeing how they are active in making the plans for their corporate takeover.
By the way, it must be said though, the redeeming thing about this movie, and again, I would give it a thumbs up, 7 out of 10, is the performances of the veterans.
Yeah.
Anne Hathaway is great. Mm-hmm. And I was just fielding at my very workplace the other day, someone was like, oh, God, she was so annoying through the movie. It literally is illegal to call her annoying. You can't do it anymore. We simply have been there, and I'm done.
I come to this space to praise Emily Blunt.
Oh, yeah. she was the best performance in the movie.
She made me laugh out loud. Even if the lines weren't great, the line readings were tart.
Yes.
And I felt like she did not miss a beat. She picked right up from that first movie. I felt when that first movie came out, I was hitting the drum hard for Emily Blunt deserves a supporting actress nomination for this. That is one of the funnier comic performances of that era. And to see her back in that vein, I loved it.
Let me also add, we're finally seeing Emily Blunt in a role I want to see her in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, she is applied with a general paintbrush at the film industry like she's fucking Lily James or something. Like she's just like any kind of character who sort of fits between like the others. And she is so much more interesting than that and sardonic and rude. And you know, it's just like we have like watered her down over the past 20 years and this is still her most potent character.
The rudeness was so fun and you're so right, Lewis, because I remember when I was beating that drum for Emily Blunt, I was like, she deserves more opportunities. She deserves to be a leading lady. And we've now had her as that, and I kind of want her back in supporting because she can do more interesting stuff.
It's like the Angelina Jolie problem. Yeah. We put her in Girl Interrupted, her best role, and then she never did that again. Well, she was never sardonic again.
We are a table full of people who want supporting actress nominations, so that's why we are like,
oh, I will have my moments.
Baby, when I finally show up as Black Maria Callas, no, I think that, Emily was the most calibrated to a nod to the first film and like that a bit more arch comedy and what it is to like have lived a life in media and still trying to figure out what you need. Who did not fit in any movie was Justin Theroux as fake Bezos. That was crazy.
Also, by the way, I didn't know it was Justin Theroux the entire movie.
Right? I was like, that is Photoshop Justin Theroux when they pass by a photo of him.
The funniest thing for me is that using prosthetics, they restored Justin Theroux's original hairline.
Pre-Turkey, baby. It was also very interesting because Justin Theroux was playing a version of Jeff Bezos before he got before he just decided to go full dome, and Lucy Liu was playing a version of Mackenzie Scott. And it is like that was really funny because we never saw them like interact with each other, but to like put caricatures of Angel, robotic villain in the film with where you're spending so much time trying to humanize everyone else really made the glucose spike when he's talking about how robots will make fashion and art choices going forward.
Yeah, and you know, we're talking about how, you know, how dire the movie is and how dire the actual state of the media industry is these days, which the movie reflects. But honestly, the thing that I found the most sort of sadly accurate is that so much of the movie is like hoping that the right billionaire will save you.
And that's what happens. Yeah,
and that's kind of where we're at now, and it's awful.
Yeah. No, and also, like, the movie ends and, like, you know, they're saved from peril, I guess, from, you know, a donor of that kind. And it's like, yeah, you're saved for the next 6 months.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Exactly.
And by the way, though, you know you're going to get another sequel to this.
Well, that's the thing. It's like you pull out and everyone's in their corner offices and it's, you know, no one has, the succession hasn't happened, right? Mm-hmm. So no one has taken the throne. Brian Cox is still alive. So it, like, there you can feel the space of when does Andy finally have to make a sacrifice so big that, you know, as Miranda speaks to in the car at the end about her children and her life. I don't know. And I don't know if I necessarily, as someone whose literal, like, legal corporation is named after this movie, I don't know if that's something that I want to see.
By the way, though, another disappointment I had in this movie, and just a disappointment I have in general, is the quote-unquote viral moment in this movie when Andy, she wins a journalism award working for the New York Vanguard, and she's at a table full of esteemed journalists, and they found out at the table, this is right at the beginning of the movie, that they're all fired. So when she wins her award, she's just learned this, she goes up to the lectern to speak, and she goes viral because she starts screaming about the importance of journalism. If you have ever met an actual journalist who's worked for 20 years, they would be addressing that with the most withering, you know, like, over it. Like, can you believe it? I'm fired. Of course I'm fired. Mm-hmm. And she's up there screaming Greta Thunberg style. And it just is like completely, you will never meet a journalist who acts like that.
When you started this rant and you said the most disappointing thing for me, I was for sure thinking that you were going to say the dress that Andy wears to the Hamptons. Because they built this up to
be
an incredible look. And then you see her in this shapeless Gabriella Hearst dress that looks like something I would dress a me in Tamagotchi Life. And I'm like, wait, this can't possibly be it.
Go ahead and get a stain on that. We don't care.
Yeah. But that's the perfect dress to ride in the jitney. I think that it's elevated house coats are important. And she looked appropriate to meet Jenna Bush Hager at Meryl's house, I guess.
Oh, wait.
Cameo Palooza.
Journalism Summit at Miranda's house.
Kara Swisher?
Kara Swisher.
And also, why is Miranda introducing herself or introducing Andy to these people?
Right.
That seems like such a non-Miranda thing.
I mean,
thing
it's an A to A minus beat from the first one.
Yeah,
like,
but
have
throw
you met
Andy
Andrew?
In and like let her swim.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they had a sharp eye on scenes that existed in the first movie that we want to see again. And it is supposed to be like, okay, so Andy got the interview. She now gets the keys to the backyard, I guess was the point of it. But yeah, you can feel the casting emails being sent out of like, who's available for party where there's a lingering shot of La Roche versus backyard in Long Island. And like that part is fun because you're looking for the candy. And like, there was a lot of Seaweed Chris from Trader Joe's in this film. There was not a ton of candy.
Okay, but the cameo we must talk about is Lady Gaga.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Because Gaga comes into this film, like, she is like, whatever you're writing for me, I am going to do a legit dramatic scene with Meryl Streep. This might be my only
thought. Yeah.
Meryl is coming in the scene like, this is another scene in our comedy. You don't have to go as hard as this. But Gaga's like, no, this is dramatic. I am bringing like personal motivation. I've written a whole backstory. I'm a panther in this. You know, she's doing her Gaga thing. And it's so intense the way that she is tackling this scene where she's trying to convey like realms more than needs to be conveyed. Though I kind of lived for it. It reminded me of, did you ever see the movie The Laundromat?
Oh, yeah, Sharon Stone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sharon Stone has a scene with Meryl in that, and Meryl's just kind of treating it like any other scene, and Sharon Stone is like, I'm going to blow you off the screen, Meryl Streep. And she does. She sort of out-acts her, but in a scene where you kind of didn't need to.
Well, it has the vibe to me of, they didn't quite know if they were going to get Lady Gaga,
yeah,
so they wrote a scene that could be pulled right out of the movie. Like, they have this, like, fight in where Miranda's supposed to be acting imperious, but in that point in the movie, she's, like, down bad, so it makes no sense.
Well,
and then we get, like, the runway sequence where Lady Gaga performs a song that is better than the one with Doechii, I think.
Oh,
and
really?
not that that's even possible.
Okay.
I'm issuing a rebuke to your Keep It From Last Week.
Excuse
I really do think that runway has aged well for me. I heard it on the dance floor on Saturday, and it was fun, and everybody
was
singing it.
That's what I told you. I told you. It is for brain rot at 1 a.m., and it was, I worked for that time.
It's for Gay Guy Music Video Night.
Exactly. But, I mean, speaking of Stephanie Germanotta, I do feel like there is a rumor that she and Anna at one point had a little bit of tension, and so it's like rooted in that.
Yeah,
but it did feel insert pop diva here. Dua Peep would have been amazing in it, but I cannot remember her performance in the movie, and I think that like that's frustrating. I think that is a function of some of David Frankel's directorial choices. And all of the fun and the camp and the froth was so quickly cut over, and it wasn't, we were not allowed to luxuriate in it. We didn't really get to see the fashion, you know, like,
yeah, it's not really a fashion movie.
No, like Meryl is pumping it into whatever that fashion show is. She put a lot of one of her new hips into it as she was walking in, but we don't get to really see what she's serving. Andy has a cerulean coat that I've been trying to find and I can't find it anywhere. You want both. And I get it. Like, we are in a time where we cannot not acknowledge what's going on around us. And the last film happened pre-recession when Condé Nast was still printing money. It's a different situation. But I come to this place for magic, bitch. Like, show me the magic.
No, I do have to say, it's like, I kind of appreciate how journalistically real the movie was in a way. But at the same time, I also didn't ask for that.
I didn't ask for
that. So it's sort of like, I can appreciate it to a point. But it's like, I didn't need like a dramaturg writing like the journalistic story of 2026 in order for me to see The Devil Wears Prada too.
But also with the costumes, we did not have the original costume designer back. Patricia Field did not come back. She was replaced by Molly Rogers, who also replaced her on And Just Like That.
And
the thing about Patricia Field is she will give you craziness, but those outfits will be striking and memorable. The Vogue montage from the original, like every single thing she wears is incredible. And I just don't think we had that here. Although I did kind of like Miranda's tassel dress. Mm. Tassel coat.
Well, you are look at what you wear you're in zipper palooza right now.
And I was going up for Tiana earlier. You know, I like a shimmy situation.
I mean, I like
it's giving me the Elizabeth Hurley paperclippy thing.
That's
you know?
What I'm
if
going
the,
for,
if obviously. The metric,
more ready to wear.
If the metric is clothing, you can do the Charleston in make motion. Totally. But I did not come to this movie for verisimilitude. I came for it for an escape.
Also flair.
Yeah.
The original has more flair than this movie.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But again, 7 out of 10 for me. What would you give it?
Oh, gosh. I was really disappointed walking out of this movie.
Interesting.
I have to say. But I'm trying to focus on like the things that I loved about it and that Emily Blunt performance.
Mm-hmm. And it really crescendos. The final scene with her and Anne is also so great, too.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's cute. And honestly, I do think that a lot of the goodwill that people have is they just want to check back in with these characters. Mm-hmm. And the moments that you leave them on, like everybody comes up to Anne at the end and it's like, here's what I love about you and here's what our future should be. She has a good moment with Stanley Tucci. She has a good moment with Emily Blunt. She has a fine moment with Miranda. And I feel like if you just end things well, if you land the plane, then people are happy.
Totally, yes.
But I wanted the journey there to be more interesting.
It must be said, though, I do think Stanley Tucci is a disappointment in this movie. He always seems slow on the uptake to me. It felt like we could have gotten cleaner takes from him, like sharper takes. Like every like kind of like withering line he says really is out there withering. Like I'm leaning in to hear it, kind of.
I will say, though, that Nigel and Andy's relationship is the thing that I felt most sentimental about watching it in real time. I think that, like, I did have questions about her, like, renewed motivation to save Miranda. I think Miranda can save herself.
Or is she saving Miranda or taking her down? That was a little confusing to me. Yeah. You're writing a tell-all at the same time?
That
felt like
Miranda
the relic of
about.
An earlier draft.
You knew Miranda would know about, too, which was, like, I kept waiting for her to wink at it, and it took it till the end. But something about their relationship going to get their soup, Stanley and Anne Hathaway, that did warm my cold, cold heart because I've had quite a few older gay men lead me to soup. So
that said, something about him is also a little abusive because we find out at the end of the movie basically that he got her this
job.
He like staged it to make it seem like he didn't arrange it. But then also, he's like a bastard to her. He'll say things like, oh, you just want validation from Miranda. It's like, she wants to know how to do this fucking bizarro job she just got hired for.
That's just a critique of every millennial because they're still mad that they gave us participation trophies 1,000 years ago. And so someone had to wink at it. I didn't have a problem with that because that's the truth of the matter. It's like she did not earn that job. It's a function of the document that is the film. Don't ask for someone to pat you on your head. Those women don't want to give it to you.
I felt like that wasn't what she was asking for.
But you know, as I'm talking about the push-pull of the Andy Miranda relationship, mm-hmm. I realized that I have the exact right person to ask this of. Riri, do you think that the Andy Miranda relationship and Devil Wears Prada 2 for that matter is basically hacks?
I don't think that Andy resents Miranda's like distance. She thinks it's something that she needs to earn her intimacy. So I think it's very different. But I do think that when watching the movie, I kept thinking over and over again that that first movie conditioned a generation of young women to think that their older mean boss could treat them that way. And I am a survivor of that. And so, and you grow up and you... Yeah, you grow up and then you either decide, was she really a cunt or did she have a bad day? And I think a lot of times they were horrible, but I don't know. I have an emotional attachment to these actresses, so I had a good enough time.
Before we move on, can I voice the one line from the original I do not like?
Oh.
And it might be true to life, as in Anna Wintour may have said it. But when Miranda's in the car with Andy and she says, oh, please, everybody wants to be us. That is not what she would say. She would be so over it. I don't think she is obsessed with access and the prestige of the job. She's fed up with impatience, and so she's going to run this whole thing because she can do it. I don't think it's, I'm enamored of all the glamour of being here.
I think that is a great line because she realizes her place at the top of the pecking order and wants to retain it. And I have to say, even though I did just sort of dig into this sequel, I do love the analogous scene in this one where she just talks about how much she loves to work.
I felt like that was actually
a real thing that made me think even more so that we could have lifted out all of the female characters' sort of relationships or whatever. Did we need to see Emily Blunt FaceTiming her ex? We didn't.
No.
We need the Australian comedian. We barely needed Brana. Because let's just focus on the women and their relationship to work. That's kind of the most interesting thing and kind of the most revolutionary thing.
Yeah. Let the river run. Yes, you know what I'm saying? Working girls.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait. Did you give a number?
Oh, yes. I just say yes.
Yes.
I think, no, I would give it probably a 6.5.
Okay, yeah, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. What did you think? Tell us why we were wrong. I'd be thrilled to hear it. We'll be right back with Keep It. Keep It is brought to you by Wild Alaskan Company. I have to say, something I am extremely not attracted to, as in can barely think about, is low-quality mystery seafood and thinking about better options for it as I consume it. We've all bought disappointing seafood that just doesn't live up to expectations, and Wild Alaskan Seafood is here to help and, oh my God, save me. Wild Alaskan Company offers the best way to get wild-caught, high-quality seafood delivered to your door on your schedule. Each Wild Alaskan box comes with individually portioned fillets, vacuum sealed, easy to prep, and great for any meal, no matter how quick or elevated. All fish is quick frozen fresh from the Alaskan waters, which helps lock in its freshness, texture, flavor, and key nutrients like omega-3s. Fish you can trust with no GMOs, antibiotics, or other additives. Every order supports sustainable harvesting practices and Alaskan fishermen whose history is tied to the region and practice. Wild Alaskan Company is so confident that their fish is the best that they offer a 100% satisfaction and money-back guarantee, so you can try your first box risk-free. Go to wildalaskan.com/keepit for $35 off your first order of premium wild-caught seafood. That's wildalaskan.com/keepit for $35 off your first order. Thanks to Wild Alaskan Company for sponsoring this episode. And we are back with our favorite segment of the episode. It's Keep It. Kyle, what is really perturbing you?
I am issuing my Keep It to all of the artists who've been canceling their concerts lately. Mm. In the last 2 weeks, we have seen major concert tour cancellations from Post Malone, from Meghan Trainor, from the Pussycat Dolls. Now, was I going to go to those tours? No. Mm. But apparently neither was the rest of America. And I'm wondering, why were some of these people doing arena tours to begin with?
It is confusing.
Yeah. Like, who Kesha, told the Pussycat Dolls that, like, right now in 2026, you'd be doing an arena tour?
Don't
like,
ya?
Yeah, be careful what you wish for because you might not get it. Like, Meghan Trainor right now? Like, did not make me look.
No.
Like, so, concert tickets have gotten so ridiculous now. And I think everybody is trying to, like, gold rush in. And this is sort of dealing a reality check to a lot of these people. And while we're on the concert topic, an additional Keep It to MIA, who got booted from a tour this week. She was on Kid Cudi's tour when she inevitably launch into a monologue about how oppressed she is as a brown Republican voter, had the audience booing her. Like, first of all, who's booking MIA in 2026 and not kind of expecting her to go off? Like, this was bound to happen. Yeah. Like, Kid Cudi, you should have known better. I saw MIA at Coachella a few weeks ago. Diplo brought her out for Paper Planes, and there was an initial, like, surge of excitement despite her, you know, 5G paranoia, just because it's like MIA singing Paper Planes, but she was not together. The Paper Planes were flying in all sorts of separate directions.
Oh, sure.
So
no air traffic control.
So she's not on this tour. I don't expect her at Coachella next year, but maybe Nicki Minaj can bring her out as a surprise guest at Turning Point USA.
I want to say about Pussycat Dolls, we do still get them at WeHo Pride.
Yes.
My dream is, by the way, there's only three of them. They're three Pussycat Dolls.
Right.
But I'm positive by the time we get to WeHo Pride, there will be two. I don't know how or why, but
yeah, just limping towards that field. It is funny, like, not funny. The ticket pricing situation is oppressive, and so I do think it's like very interesting. People who are like, no, I definitely, me Post Malone can get a $700 ticket out of someone right now. Everyone, it's tough nuggies out there. But my favorite part about all of this is like the different, slightly absurd lies everyone is telling about
right.
why they're canceling the
right.
tours. It's like family values, creative differences. There's, you know, the piano would not set on fire. Like, it's just so, that part I think is really funny because it's like this fallacy of saving face to their fans, I guess you would call them. It feels very like Spirit Airways, like shutting it down. If you were already going on the flight, you should be stranded anyway.
Although then we must give props to the Pussycat Dolls.
Yes.
Because their Instagram message did start with, after taking an honest look.
Also,
to be fair,
picture Pussycat Dolls taking an honest look. Strong image.
Well,
strong
like,
image.
Yeah, weren't these, like, is this the first try they've had to do this tour since they were going to do it before COVID?
I believe so, yeah.
So it took them 6 years to pull it together. Everybody had to, you know, get out of Morongo, I'm guessing, to, like,
Nicole Scherzinger
it.
Was busy on Broadway, I yes. guess. But
yeah,
I don't know that's the sort of thing that supports a Pussycat Dolls tour.
Yeah, no,
no,
it's
not.
They do have 8 songs.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not, you know, Meg as the MC in La Rouge. I don't know how many Pussycat Doll fans were going to Sunset Boulevard and then were going to show back up
yeah.
at M&T Bitcoin Arena. But, like, it is, yes, they use the word honest, which I appreciate from the Dolls.
Riri, what is your keep it this week?
My keep it is to people who are still intent on, like, yucking yums. Paul Kelly was on the red carpet at Met Gala. If you don't know who Paul Kelly is, that makes sense. He played JFK Jr. in Love Story.
Yes.
So, one...
By the way, I cannot retain. His name
yeah.
is Paul Kelly.
His Paul Kelly.
Okay.
Anthony Kelly?
Yes.
It doesn't matter if it is, by the way.
He thinks he deserves a three-namer right here? No. Paul A. Kelly was on the red carpet for the Met Gala yesterday in the wake of Ryan Murphy's sponsored trauma on the internet. And he was asked, as she is one of the chairs of the event, if he was excited that Beyonce was there. He nodded, sure. And then when asked what his favorite Beyonce song was, he just... like disgustingly nodded. I don't know. I'm a metalhead. Now, look, I am not one of these people who are like, you need to love everything. Everyone can enjoy the auditory pleasures of their own desire. But my issue is that, like, you don't have to be dismissive. It's not chic to say, like, I don't like that girl. There are a lot of very popular women I don't listen to every day. She is the chair of the event. Be polite. It's okay to be like, oh, I don't know, whatever makes me dance. I know that you were plucked
yes.
from a, I think, static VHS tape that they had to find to, like, cast that part, and you were the right shape, I guess. But, like, I don't know. Everything is so hard. Everything is so, like, just... maybe just have a little enthusiasm or just appreciate that other people love other things. It was just an unnecessary L, and it's already been clipped to hell. Like, and if he didn't sense that, I mean, some people are not media trained, but if he didn't sense that was coming, it was the only thing you can find at the top of the feed immediately.
Let me be clear, though. Like, we've all walked into a Target before. We've all heard a Beyonce song.
And that's the thing.
I'm sorry. Like, even if
you went
to Destiny's Child.
Name them, but yeah. also, like, just do what Tom Cruise does when they ask him what his favorite movie is. is and say all of them.
It, yeah, it's so it's
that's
so
the other two,
easy, but yeah. But it's just like there was I didn't like his tone and I took it personally because yeah. It's just like there are plenty of things that people you're not incredibly versed on, but you can be gracious about it. You're already at I don't know, boo body palooza. Like, just lean into it and like appreciate that. That is someone that a lot of people really enjoy.
Literally, like he could have used most of the same words and still not felt like ick.
Yeah, and it's know? Like I just hate the like sniff of I am too masculine or I am too uninvolved to like be okay with someone's like popular choice.
Yeah,
it like it. You don't impress me much at all. Oh, I miss her.
I know, yeah.
Where is she? Bring her back to the Met Gala.
She was in Vegas last year. That was crazy.
Right. And where she will remain, I'm sure. I say that affectionately.
Yeah.
My keep it this week is, normally if I'm saying keep it to somebody releasing an album, I'm saying keep it to the album, but I'm not.
Mm.
Mine is to Kacey Musgraves, who has a new album this week, Middle of Nowhere. I will call it the third in her Zoloft trilogy because she is very... There's an authenticity to what she is doing, and a lot of the music is good. This is my favorite of her past three albums. Mm-hmm. But there is still a very lingering sadness to everything she writes. And when she had the come up, the renaissance with the Golden Hour album,
yeah.
That also is a melancholy album, but there also is a lot of wit going on, a lot of like even some danceable moments on that album. My keep it goes to her because I am sick of wondering if this woman is okay. The music is almost so authentic. I feel like I'm still in the brain space of somebody getting over a terrible divorce, which, okay, great. But man, like we're like still low on levity and I want the best for this girl. Speaking of amazing Met Gala looks, one of the few people during the camp year to really nail it with that Barbie look.
Yeah.
And I just love her in general. Somebody who has that kind of Sabrina Carpenter wink wink vibe but also like serious songwriter vibe too, so she's sort of as like light and fluffy or as serious as you want to take her.
Have you seen her cover of Kill Bill by SZA?
Yes.
I mean, it's a beautiful voice, but she's not playing into like the fun and wit and craziness of that song at all.
Yeah,
she
right.
she has a classic like Opry like effect sometimes, and I think that it has buried that sort of whimsical Barbie brought out. I want to say brought out like All Stars 4 or 5 winners immediately after they won. Like,
yes.
There is something in there that has a vibrancy there that it's not always forward. But all I've really heard about the album so far is Divorces and Horses with Miranda Lambert.
Yes, they've sort of mended fences, to put it in country slang.
Yeah,
and I guess they had like a very serious feud that Kacey Musgraves herself has acknowledged.
Yeah,
Horses and Divorces is a kind of fun song, but again, it's still like if this album still feels a little waterlogged and like bogged down. Like I'm missing like the Follow Your Arrow thing that she had once upon a time that had a lot of like. I guess the word is pluck to it. You
She's
know?
Kind of giving Taylor Sheridan spinoff at this point.
They do sort of meld together. Yeah.
Okay, but if she showed up on the Madison, I will watch it. Oh God, I cannot believe I watched that show. But I don't know. I mean, I Kacey has a effervescence. You're totally right. And like, you want to see that up there. You want to see the wig high and the spirits higher.
And the woman, she's the woman who says, "When I say ye, you say ha." Yeah. And then when they did it the wrong time, she goes, "I didn't fucking say ye." Like that's the vibe. Yeah. Let me
bring that back.
Also. The Madonna world of harassing the crowd.
Yeah. I can't wait for her plaintive cover of Runway by Gaga and Doechii.
I mean, I am a child of summer. Summer is approaching. We all want the music to feel like a beautiful drive. And right now, it is a beautiful coma. I can understand that. So, yeah.
By the way, she has a number of great covers. She did. She's on a version of Waves with Miguel. That's one of my favorite vocals of her. And her version of Neon Moon by Brooks and Dunn. Picture me touting the works of Brooks and Dunn.
I was about to say.
And listen to me now.
Okay, the way you pulled that out of a Best Week Ever episode, that was so amazing.
My peers, thank you for being here today.
This
Kyle, if I'm looking for you on the internet, where would I find you?
You'll find me at the New York Times, and you'll find me tweeting from Cannes over the next few weeks.
I cannot wait.
Have fun on the roads, babe.
You better be clapping your ass off. You better be like Vanna White clapping up there.
I will, and I'll be doing it defiantly, thinking of you the whole time.
Okay, good. Tears streaming down your face. Riri, where can we find you?
At Resquared. This is always fun and incredibly stupid.
Yeah. That's what we're going for. Yeah, finally nailed it. And we thank you for joining us. Tell us what you thought of everything. We actually talked about every pop culture topic today. So we exhausted you. Once you wake up, tell us what you think. We'll see you next week on Keep It.
Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Caroline Reston, Kendra James, Lindsay Gomez, and me, Louis Vertel. Our team includes Matt DeGroat, Rachel Gajewski, Delon Villanueva, Claudia Sheng, Mia Kalman, Jay Banks, Charlotte Landis, and Jordan Cantor. Our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.